love this church. I love this congregation. I love God's word, and it is a privilege to preach it. I maybe shouldn't be in the pulpit this Sunday, but I love what we're going through together. And you can tell I'm struggling with a little bit of something here, and I'll probably not be greeting you at the back of the sanctuary as you leave today, because I don't want to give it to you. But we are in Isaiah 43 yet again. We were there last week, and we'll be looking at that again today. Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. We looked at what God does when he does a new thing, that God's, when he works and does something new in our midst, it is decisive. It will be for blessing. And the other one is that it will be surprising. So that's what we studied last week. And surprisingly, we met in the parlor because it was just so cold, as you remember. And so this week, we've got to respond to it. And that's what we want to look at in the same text, is how we respond to what God is doing. And this is what Isaiah says, the prophet. He sets up the Lord speaking in verses 16 and 17, then verses 18 and following are God himself speaking. This is what the Lord says, he who made a path through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland and give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, help us to know how to respond faithfully and adequately to the great things that you do in and through us on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and even for the past 225 years, Lord. We trust not on our own understanding of these words, but ask you to speak to us anew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once upon a time, a new thing entered into our household. It was a children's book that had our daughter's name written all through it. Our friends, Alan and Sue, had found a computer kiosk somewhere where you could type in the child's name, color of the hair, color of eyes, and so on, and it would generate this book that had the whole child written into it. And it was a book that our daughter Rachel could read, and it had her name throughout it, and it was a story about her, and it was a pretty amazing thing what these computers can do. There was even a pocket in it where you could slide in a picture of this little girl. I've looked for the book in our belongings, and I can't come across it. I'm not sure where it is right now. I even called our daughter Rachel to see if she remembered where it was, and she doesn't, but it probably started out something like, once upon a time, there was a little girl named Rachel. And later on, Rachel probably becomes the hero of the whole story. I remember her being enraptured with the book, and indeed it was pretty amazing to find yourself in a story, to find yourself in a book written about you and for you. And in many ways, that's what we have in Scripture, but on a much higher level. Your name is in this book. Your life and your ways are in this book. And to me, one of the most amazing things about our faith is that the living God would invite us to participate with him in what he's doing in the world around us. As a matter of fact, I think this is one of the main reasons, perhaps, why our churches are dwindling, some of them, because we just haven't really adequately told people that this is your book, that the Almighty, all-living God invites you to step into what he's doing in the world, and you have an opportunity to join with him. And in our text for today, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. He invites us, look, see, don't you perceive it? It's on the front of your bulletin there. It's verse 18, I believe it is, for the text for today. And as we look in this text, all of it, verse 19, we can see about three things that God is encouraging us to do, to participate with Him, and to get into this new thing that He wants to do in our midst. The first one, which we've already talked about, is to let it go, to let go of the past. The second one is to open up our eyes for a surprise. And the last one is to reclaim our purpose for praise. So let's look at these. God says, I'm going to do a new thing, and He invites us into that and says, let it go, open your eyes, reclaim your purpose. Those are written for you in your bulletin as well. Let go of the past. It strikes me as a little bit odd that God, as He is moving into this great new future for His people Israel, would say to them, the very first thing, right off the bat, forget the past. And yet there's something in my heart that says, you know, really, if you're going to move forward, you can't be entangled by the past. You can't be dragged down by the past. I've shared with you the little quotation that somebody sent to me along with a photograph, one of these memes that are so popular now that you can pop out to people on your phone or something. But it said something to the effect that you can't start the next chapter until you finish with the chapter before it. And there's just something right about this. When God begins speaking there, before He even talks about the new things, He says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. God charges His people to let go of something in the past so that they would be able to move forward. I don't want to keep you here too long. I would have to preach 40-some-odd different sermons, you know, about what it is that you need to let go of. And then there's a sermon about what, you know, our church might need to let go of, or what Christians in general need to let go of. There could be so many sermons here, but I want to encourage you to think as we start out this new year together, is there something that you need to let go of? And I've included just a few discussion questions or thought questions for you on the back of your bulletin there. I want you to ask yourself, what do I need to let go of? That next one there may be a little bit unusual. Am I abusing myself? So often we talk about abusive relationships, but I think we abuse ourselves sometimes too. We're just so hard on ourselves. Some of us really excel in this area. And so forget people that are, well, I don't mean to be dismissive of people who are abusive, but make sure that you are not being abusive of yourself as well. Next one, am I shrinking God down to a manageable size? I think I said that within the past few weeks. One of my favorite phrases is, I believe that we as Christians follow a half-mighty God and not an almighty God. We really have shrunk God down to something that is manageable for us. Can I grow up in Christ in 2018? Can I let go of some misconceptions about God? Do you have any misconceptions about God? I came across an old comic about God in my computer files this past week, and it had a picture of God there. God was on a computer, and I won't spoil the punchline or anything, but how do you think God was portrayed there? There's a basic standard cartoon portrayal of God, right? What is God sitting on? On clouds, right? And what does God look like? Long hair and a beard, right? Just an old guy. And is this what we're saying to the world out there, that this is who God is? Now, He is timeless, and maybe He does have a beard. I don't know. But I just hope that we can just think of God in fresh ways, new ways, biblical ways, and make sure that we are sharing that with the world out there. How do you want to give witness to God in our wonderful community here in 2018? What are you saying to the world about Him? What does your life say to the world about Him? So let go of the past. God Himself encourages us to do that. Secondly, open your eyes for a surprise. See there in verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. That's a command word. That's an invitation word. It's an imperative, our English teachers would say to us. See, look, open your eyes. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can't you look and see what I am doing in your midst? Like I said, I just think it is one of the most amazing things about the Christian faith that a living God would say, you, who? I want you to join with what I'm doing in Lincoln County. I want you to be a part of a certain church somewhere and give yourself to that community and to those people. And to be able to do that, I think we just have to watch and be aware of what he's doing around us. I don't think we need to go down any new paths that are outside of his will, but just watch and be very careful that we see what he is doing among us. For example, this church seems to be a church that really excels in prayer. And so we've added a special time of prayer at the end of our worship services that if you need extra prayer, not like a little prayer isn't enough, right? God says a mustard seed is just fine. But if you need extra, if you want to be have a personal touch, or if you want to share a little bit more that you're uncomfortable with sharing in the larger congregation, you come forward. And today it's Donna, right, who will be up front here to pray with you if you want to do that. But you've got to be aware of what God is doing. So like I was saying, I think God has moved in our midst and really answers our prayers. We prayed for you long, and he's going to church. You know, I've had so many examples of answered prayer since I've been your pastor here. It's just kind of unusual, wonderful, and it makes me think, God, maybe this is a praying church. And that's a wonderful thing. So God invites us to be aware of what he's doing, and we need to watch and be alert, and that's one of the greatest things you can do. I teach in the adult education program here in our county, as you know. I teach a bird watching class in the spring and a natural history class in the fall. And one of the greatest skills I try to pass on to people are just basic observation skills. Most people don't even know what's going on in the world around them. And every now and then, one of you will send me a picture. Hey, I saw this bird. Or, hey, what do you think this is? Or something. I love that. You're paying attention. We need to use those skills on a spiritual basis, too, and say, God, what are you doing in our midst? And so I've included some extra thought questions for you there. Open your eyes for a surprise. Ask yourself, how is God at work in the world around me? How is God using me in the world around me? How might he surprise me today? And then maybe an extra one there if you're really honest. Am I open for a surprise, really? For God to do something new? Sometimes the past is more comfortable, isn't it? It's really odd to me as you start this passage that the prophet Isaiah sets it up by talking about the Exodus. Verse 16 there, he made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He's talking about that Old Testament story when God opened up the Red Sea, right? And then closed up the sea and the chariots and the horses were all drowned. That's good enough story for me. God, if you just do that again, I'd be fine with that. And then God, when he starts to talk, he says, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. They might even be greater and more powerful and more wonderful what he is going to do. That's hard for me to get my mind around. Let's do that together in 2018 and try and see, God, would you even do something greater than that? And not only do we see that here, but our Lord Jesus Christ himself said this in John 14:12. He said to his disciples, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Even greater things than Jesus. In Nobleboro? In Newcastle? He said it. So we want to let go of something in the past. We want to open our eyes for a surprise. And last of all, we want to reclaim our purpose for praise. In verses 20 and 21 there, God starts to talk about his people, my chosen, in verse 21. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. It's another reason why I love Scripture so much, because though there are things that are hard to understand, there are plenty of things that are very clear, and this is one of them. Why are you here? What are you doing on the face of this planet? God says, I have formed you for myself that you may proclaim my praise. Your number one thing to do in 2018 is what? What's the number one thing you need to accomplish in 2018? Praise God, right? Isn't it kind of funny that that God seems to tease his people there in verse 20 at the beginning? The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls. You see, these streams are bubbling up in the desert. So he evokes animals of the desert that people rarely see, jackals and owls. Jackals and owls come out at night. We don't see them, you know. I can't even tell you the last time I saw an owl. I don't think I've even seen one since I've moved to Maine. I've heard them, but, you know, these creatures that are so distant and out there, they honor me. Will you? You are the people that I have formed for myself that you may proclaim my praise. Now, if you have the guts and the courage, go back and read Isaiah 42 and the next part of Isaiah 43. Some very unflattering ways in which God speaks about Israel. They were dishonest, they were arrogant, they were forgetting God. But here in these verses, which we'll focus on, he says, you are my people, you're here to declare my praise, and that is your purpose for 2018. I love it that God so clearly states what we're doing, what we are here for. And I know that you have many callings, many things to do in this year. Pastor, I've got to get home and get to work on my woodpile. Snow's gone. Those sticks of wood might not be stuck together by ice, and I've got just a little window here, Pastor, where I can get that wood pile up and running. Pastor, I need to apply for unemployment. Pastor, I need to fill my oil tanks. There's a hard freeze coming. Pastor, I've got a family to feed, and you're trying to tell me that I need to praise God? This is your highest calling. This is what you are asked to do and created to do. Beyond anything else, to be a creature of praise. So, I've got a few discussion questions or thought questions for you there on the back of your bulletin. To reclaim your purpose to praise, what is your purpose in life? I know you know what your purpose is right now for the next couple of minutes, right? To be a good little Christian and sit in your pew, but what about Monday, January 15th? Will that still be your purpose? To get out there and to praise God? I am blown away by this text where God pulls us in and says, I want you to participate in what I'm doing in the world. Every now and then you probably get an invitation, right? With a little RSVP at the bottom of it. What does that mean, RSVP? Yeah. Did you say it in French? I did. A lot of people were talking, I didn't hear it. Responde souple. Right? The favor of a reply is requested, okay? The honor of a reply is awaited from you. Just recently, some of my former students who live and work in Portland had a baby, and they invited me to their baby shower. As a guy, it's kind of awkward being invited to a baby shower, but I guess that's a modern thing to do. But I didn't go. Something else came up. But it was still such an honor to be included, to know that you wanted your former teacher to be involved in your baby shower. And God is inviting you to be busy about what he is doing. Had heat wave this past week, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
It set you to dreaming about summer? Whether you should open up the camp or not? Whether it's too early to get back out there and turn the water back on or not? What are you be doing this summer? Colleen and I are probably going to head out or to Europe to see one of our daughters there. We're planning on doing that. Got to make that happen one way or the other. There's big plans for this year. But what I really want us to dream about, at least a little bit of the time, for our church is what can God do in our midst? What is something new that he can do? As we move out, as we go out into the community, let's remember that God will take care of us. He will lead us, and to remind us of that, we're going to close by singing hymn number 485, God Will Take Care of You. As our music team comes forward and prepares to lead us in worship, and turn to that.